The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 16th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Then Jesus said to the disciples, there was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was squandering his property. So he summoned him and said to him, what is this that I hear about you? Give me an accounting of your management, because you cannot be my manager any longer. Then the manager said to himself, what will I do now that my master is taking the position away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do so that where I am, dismissed as manager, people may welcome me into their homes. So summoning his master's debtors one by one, he asked the first, how much do you owe my master? The man answered, 100 jugs of olive oil. The accountant said, take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 50. Then he asked another debtor, how much do you owe? The debtor replied, 100 containers of wheat. The accountant said to him, take your bill and make it 80. And his master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the children of this age are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourself by means of dishonest wealth, so that when it is gone, they may welcome you into their eternal homes. Whoever is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much. And whoever is dishonest in very little is also dishonest in much. If then you have not been faithful with dishonest wealth, who will entrust you with the true riches? And if you have not been faithful with what belongs to another, who will give you what is your own? No slave can serve two masters. For a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Grace and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today's parable I read from Luke is probably the most difficult parable of all of Christ's parables. In fact, if you look in your Bibles and they give little title headings before parables and teachings, the Bible editors don't even agree what to call it. Some call this parable the parable of the dishonest manager. In other words, the manager is a crook. He's a thief. He's a liar. Some editors put the little black subscript, the parable of the shrewd manager. In other words, he's cunning, he's bright, he's ambitious, he's efficient. I'm not sure which title best fits. But one thing to know for sure, he's in trouble. He's been lining his pockets with wealth that is not that of his own. He's been put into a position of authority. He has a rich boss. A boss with business dealings, a boss that has loans out in the community, and it is his job to keep the books. People bring in their payments and he shaves a little money off the top, a little gratuity for himself. Someone comes to his boss and says, hey, your accountant's been shaving some money off the top of the books. He's been lining his pockets. The master says, really? He calls in his manager or accountant and says, look, I've heard this rumor. Bring in the spreadsheets and the ledger book and let's go through them. Let's see if there's truth to this. The manager knows that he's been busted. So he takes that little time that he has between his meeting with the manager and he's supposed to return back with the main set of books and he starts going to all the debtors. How much do you owe? The debtor says, well, I owe $1,000. The manager says, I'll tell you what. Give me $500. And I'll clear the account for you. Goes to the next person, how much do you owe? Oh, I owe 100 jugs of olive oil. Manager says, tell you what, give me 25 and I'll make your debt zero. And it's his hope that when his master finds out and he's fired, that these same people who he has colluded with will be nice to him. Maybe they will give him a plum patronage appointment. Maybe they'll appoint him to the Senate. Wait, that's a different government. Nevertheless, that is his hope, that in this position of authority or power, he can use what little resources he has to make a better life for himself in the future. And to us, children of the light, as Christ calls us. People who are to walk in God's footsteps, anointed by the Holy Spirit. Christ used this person as an example. Christ says, you, children of the light, aren't as good as these children of the darkness or children of this age. They're shrewd. They know how to get things done. They know how to look ahead. They know how to make friends for themselves with dishonest wealth. But what about us? What about us who live in this world? What is our calling as faithful living as Christians? What's been entrusted to us? What things are we the managers over? What things do we share with others? Love, joy, peace, the Holy Spirit, the gospel, forgiveness, a knowledge of the eternal life, the sacraments, all things that God has graciously given to His church that we preside over, that we gather in, that we enjoy, and that hopefully blesses us. How do we use these things for our future in Christ? One thing that we have that we might not use enough is prayer. Today, St. Paul says that we are to pray unceasingly. We are to pray for our rulers and our leaders and people in positions of power so that we might live peaceful lives. If I were to ask you to enumerate your blessings, if I were to ask you, say, what things are you so thankful for to God this morning? I might hear health or family or happiness. But what about the system in which we live? We gather in peace. We live peaceful lives. We have the gift of good government, of a sound education system, of water that we can drink, of plumbing that works, of democracy, a charter of rights and freedoms. We gather here today not scared that a bomb will go off in our midst, that soldiers or an arm of the government will come to the door, that we will lose our jobs on Monday, that we'll be persecuted on Tuesday. No. We have the safety and security, the blessing of peaceful lives. And we are to pray and give thanks for that. I'm not sure if we recognize how important that is. Like lots of things, because we are born into them, because we have them, we end up taking them for granted. We think to ourselves, just because today is good, tomorrow will be good. But that is not the case of today's parable from Christ. The parable of this honest manager tells us that a time of accounting is coming. Make no mistake, the universe is coming against us. Later in the month, we will hear Christ's words about wars and rumors of wars, about earthquakes and floods. And we recognize that just because today is good is no guarantee that tomorrow will be good. Today you may be healthy, but tomorrow you may be sick. Today you may be rich, but tomorrow you may be poor. Today we may be secure, but tomorrow may see war. And so we are called to pray. This is our greatest wealth. This is what we are entrusted with. This connection to God, this idea that Christ is our mediator between us and God, that Christ has bridged the chasm. A chasm that's been created because of sinfulness. A chasm that's been created because of disbelief. A chasm that's been created by us. And Christ is a bridge. A bridge between us and God, a bridge between us and heaven, a bridge between now and the future. And we are called to use that bridge. We are called to pray. Not just for ourselves, not just for our family, but we are called to pray for others, for our leaders, for our teachers, for our healthcare workers, for our soldiers, for our municipal employees. The list can go on and on and on. Because we are all part of this large system, the system that allows us to lead peaceable lives. But it's not a perfect system. It's a system that's often very dishonest. A system that can be dishonest with racism, a system that can be dishonest with poverty and favoritism and nepotism, a system that can be dishonest with environmental pollution. Make no mistake, because this system gives us peace, because this system gives us security, in no way is this system perfect. It's a system that holds many in bondage. It's a system that likes to propagate itself. It's a system that sees the rich often get richer and the poor often get poorer. But it's a system in which we live. And it's a system that we believe, as Christians, we can bring positive influence to, through the gifts that we have. We go into the world like the dishonest manager or the shrewd manager, and we say what we can use. And we recognize that how we use them won't be perfect. That every idea won't be perfect. That every result won't be perfect. But in the end, we hope that we are serving others. We're called to pray. Called to share love. Called to work and volunteer. Called to be good stewards. And called to make evil known where it stands. We are called as children of the light to illuminate the darkness and say, hey, this isn't perfect. And that is how we make friends in heaven. By engaging the world. We are called to engage. And it makes us messy. It makes us unclean. It makes us concerned. It makes us question. But nevertheless, this is where we're called to be, in the world. Looking at those who feel they have deaths. Not deaths with us, but deaths with God. Those people outside these walls that feel they cannot cross that chasm. People who see no mediator between them and God. People who have no desire to reach for Christ because they feel somehow they have fallen so far away that their effort is wasted. And we come in and we say, what do you think you owe God? And we try and make the books clean and say, forgiveness can be yours. How do you think you've sinned against Christ? Let's make the books clean. Forgiveness can be yours. This is how I interpret the parable. Going forth. God will hold me account. And I will fail. I haven't totally loved. I haven't totally given. I haven't totally served. So what can I do? Can I twiddle my thumbs? Can I wait in this period of sadness? Can I think of myself as a failure or like the manager? Can I go out into the world and say, hey, here's what little ability I have. Here's a few things that I can change. How can I make you right with my master? That's the gift of forgiveness. That's what this steward, what this accountant, what this manager is doing. He is making people right with his master. He is making them righteous. He is making the books clean. They aren't fully paying for what they borrowed. As Christians, we don't fully pay back to Christ what we have received. We don't fully give our lives. We don't fully give of our treasures. We don't fully give of our time or our love or our compassion. Without that mediation, without someone saying, hey, we're making the books clean, we will always be indebted. But we've been told the debt's been paid. Not because of what we've done, not because of what we've earned, but because of someone else. And as Christians, as children of the light, it's our job to make that known to people. To say, God forgives you. The books are clean. Come and experience righteousness. Come and experience light. And we do that through prayer, through love, through friendship, through giving, through support, through volunteering, through service. However you best are able to connect with those around you to help them bridge that gap to Jesus. We've been blessed. We live in the world. But we live as God's people in the world. A people that aren't forced to pay the bill. A people that have no account hanging over them. A people who are able to live peaceable lives. The same is not true for all of our brothers and sisters in faith. And so we pray for them and we pray for their leaders. Because this peace that we enjoy is an opportunity for us to go out, to make known the good things of God, to recognize that today, tomorrow, and the day after are not guaranteed to us. Our time is short. The world will come to account. We can only throw so much stuff in the atmosphere. We can only pour so many chemicals in the dirt. We can only print so many dollar bills. We can only have such a proportion enjoying the lifestyle that we live against such a proportion experiencing poverty. Eventually, this will become unsustainable. And the world will ask for an accounting. And how we present the books? As a people who have made things right? Or as a people in debt? A people who took this time and were shrewd with it? Or a people that wasted it? Were we honest with what God has given us? Or were we dishonest? That is the question. But make no mistake about it. What we do today makes for a better life going forward. A better life for us, and a better life for others. And no matter what the universe, no matter how the universe conspires against us, no matter how we feel that creation has it out for us, we know that we are moving to somewhere better. That we are moving to that final accounting. That time when we are with God. The time that we are with Christ. A time when the books are totally cleansed. This time of perfection. This is the good news of the gospel. It's the good news of what we are called to share with others. But this is an important time. This is our time. It's our time of peaceful living. And we are called not to squander it. Not to think that better days will just naturally come tomorrow. Not to think that we are on some sort of perpetual ride. Because we're not. The history of human evolution, the history of human history, is civilizations rising and civilizations falling. The Egyptians, the Akkadians, the Babylonians, the Hebrews, the Syrians, the Assyrians, the Romans, the Greeks, probably all thought they would live into eternity. But now they are simply archaeological markers in textbooks. Make no mistake, the same will be true for us. How long this stands for and how long this is sustained for, I don't know. But to say that something greater won't rise in the east or out of the south, is simply to not be a student of history. But right now, this blessed time that we live in, this time of peace, that we can gather and pray and sing and worship and study and share and befriend, it's a time that we are called to do something. To do something for the world. To give to the world and to love the world and to forgive the world. It's a blessing. And we are the stewards of it. We can simply take this time as personal time. Time in which we simply work to serve ourselves, to enlarge our lives and our fortune and our standing and our security. But when the books are opened, when the master comes, our debit sheet will exist because we have not used our time wisely. Or we can see this time as a peaceful time. A time of sowing into the harvest. A time of planting seeds. A time in which someone after us will come for the harvest and reap that 10, 20,000 fold amount that Christ talks about. I believe this is the time that we live in. This great gift that we have. is a time that we enjoy together, a time in which we can gather in prayer, give thanks for our leaders, the leaders of our government, the leaders of our institutions, the leaders of our communities, and thank them for the peace, this peacefulness that we have. Pray for them as they are stewards in their lives, stewards in our community of that which is entrusted to them, so that we can continue this time together to make known God's love, to help people experience the righteousness of not being in debt. This is a good time. It's a good time for us. This, to paraphrase Ecclesiastes, is a time in which we can plant. This is a time in which we can dance. But of course, the other end of those verses, soon it will be time to harvest, and soon it will be time to mourn. But here we are, gathered under this great blessing. Amen.